Amen. How great our joy indeed. As we come before the Lord and worship today, we can proclaim the truths that God has promised and that God has lived out through Jesus Christ, our Lord. As we turn to our readings today, we are continuing our lectionary readings that many churches around the world are using today. Two of our readings are from Isaiah and the Gospel of Luke. This is Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 7. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Strangers will shepherd your flocks, foreigners will work in your fields and vineyards, and you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. Instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion, and instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance. So you will inherit a double portion in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. Turning over to Luke chapter 1, this is the moment Mary has been greeted by the angel Gabriel. Rejoice, Mary, you are highly favored. And as she hears the mind-blowing news that she is about to bear the Messiah, she then travels to see her cousin Elizabeth, who also is pregnant in her old age. And as Elizabeth sings a song at greeting, when she greets Mary, Mary then bursts into song, often called the Magnificat. And this is our reading, starting with Luke chapter 1, verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Holy God, we thank you and we praise you. Our souls magnify you this morning as we turn to your eternal truths that are infinitely greater than the reality that is around us. Your reality is forever and ever true. Lord, we pray that you would raise us up to that place so that we may rejoice with you and rejoice and glorify Jesus Christ, our Savior. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. As we turn now to Joy Sunday, we just lit the pink candle. It is the day that we celebrate in the midst of the season of Advent, a season of longing and anticipation, a season of waiting, a season of repentance. The reason why the candle is pink is because purple is the liturgical color for Advent, just like it is for Lent. But Joy Sunday is a lighter day. So they make it a lighter color to remind us of the lightness of God, the joy that he offers to us. I don't know about you, but this has not been an easy week or season or year to be joyful. It has been a hard one. It feels like in a lot of ways, usually for Advent, it's like, good week, peace, good week, hope, good week, joy, good week, love, really great week, the Christ candle on Christmas Eve. But this year, the image that's been in my head is like we're at the bottom of a cliff and we have to rock climb all the way to the top of the cliff and barely touch peace. And then we fall down again. And then we rock climb all the way back up and barely touch hope and fall back down again. This week, as I looked up at the way up there where joy was going to be, I'm like, God, how am I going to get there so that I can preach a sermon on this? It has not been an easy season as we watch record-setting caseloads in Pittsburgh and around the country, as we watch record-setting deaths in the country. It has been a hard week on so many different fronts. And I've been struggling, Lord, where is the joy? I know the joy is there, but where is it? How do we get there? And I kept thinking, how do I climb up that high? Literally, as I was driving to church this morning and, gloomy, misty, rainy day, God gave me an image. Remember back when we could fly on planes? It's been a long time. But that image, have you ever left an airport in a storm? And the plane takes off and you fly through turbulence and gray and you can't see anything, rain streaming by the windows. And all of a sudden, the plane breaks through the clouds. And above the clouds, the sun is shining. But the image that God gave me was that's what this is like right now. That it seems like the clouds and the rain and the storm, that is the reality. That is what is true. But as we rise above the clouds, we realize that the sun is what is real and true and every morning rising again. The storm is temporary. The storm will blow away, but the sun will always shine, is always shining, even on a day like this, even in a year like this. So the Sundays of Advent, I think, are kind of like going up in an airplane and seeing the sun. And we have to descend back into the storm, and then the next Sunday we rise up and see the sun again. So as we let the Lord lift us up, rise us up on wings like eagles, above the cloud layer, let us rest in the truth of joy today. Let us grab on to that truth that is eternal truth, not just the temporary things around us, but what he offers to us. As we look at our scriptures today, we see people who are buried in these storms. And yet in the midst of this, God gives them a glimpse. First, the Israelites, as they are in Babylonian captivity, they don't think that they can get out. But God says, this is what is true. This is what's above the storm. I am here, and I am coming. The Messiah is coming. And then we see Mary, humble, nobody teenager Mary, one of the least of society. But God sees this amazing young woman, pure of heart. And he lifts her up and he says, this is what is true and this is what's going to happen, not just this today, this week, this year, but always. People will call you blessed. This is the eternal truth that we can hold on to. So as we go through these weeks of the valley of the shadow of the storms that we're facing, let us ask the Lord to raise us up above those clouds. Let's look at the passage from Isaiah this time. The context here is, again, the Babylonian exile. The people have been taken by the Babylonians out in exile. The land has been destroyed. The temple has been destroyed. Everything is looking miserable. And Isaiah has been warning them for almost 40 chapters of how their behavior is going to have a consequence. They are going to be punished for their idolatry, for their greed, their injustice, for all of these things that they have been doing to deny the power of God, the strength of God, the holiness of God. God wants a holy people. And he realizes that the only way to truly make them holy is to take them away and refine them and burn out the impurities in them before he can bring them back. But he promises them, even in the midst of exile, he promises them that there will be restoration. There will be truth. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me to proclaim good news to the poor, bind up the brokenhearted, freedom for the captives, release from darkness for the prisoners. Each of these images is a complete reversal of what the people were experiencing. It was a complete opposite of what they believed to be true because they knew it. They were experiencing it themselves. Those experiences don't lie. But God is saying, I'm about to turn it all upside down. I'm about to set free all of these different things, all of the injustice, all of the unholiness, all of the despair. I love that line, the garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. That is the truth that God is offering to us in the midst of this. And this is the truth that God was saying, I'm going to do this in this lifetime. I am going to do it through the Messiah, and I will do it eternally. I will do it always. Think about all of these different things that God is offering to us. This incredible, instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion. Instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance. How many of you are walking around in shame, knowing the list of ways that you have fallen short of the glory of God? We all have it, all have sinned and fallen short. But in the midst of that is the truth, the sun shining, the S-O-N sun shining with his eternal grace. And that is the truth, that he will wipe away all tears from our eyes. He will wipe away sin because he has come and he has conquered. This reminds me of a passage in Isaiah 35, this amazing image. It says, the desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. And this is not like if you go to the Phipps Conservatory, one of my favorite places in Pittsburgh, you're going to see a whole lot of flowers. But you expect to see flowers. That's a good thing. But when you go to the desert, you are not expecting to see flowers. I have an aunt and uncle that live in Tucson, Arizona, and I mean, it is as brown can be. But in the crazy moments when it does rain, all of a sudden, the desert bursts into bloom. God is bursting into bloom, dry and desert places, the wilderness that we're walking in. He is the one that can transform all of this barrenness that we're experiencing right now because his joy is eternal. Those seeds that are in the desert floor are there and will burst forth as soon as they are watered. God has planted those seeds in our hearts. And he is telling us that instead of joy, instead of mourning, he will bring forth joy. Instead of despair, he will bring forth praise. Mary had the same sense of this desert land, of this despairing people who were oppressed by the Romans, who were in this backwater part of the Roman Empire, taxed to death, all of them crying out, Lord, how long? O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, which mourns in lonely exile here. Mary is one of those people, and she is longing for the coming of the Lord. And suddenly this angel appears before her. It says, greetings, Mary, for you are highly favored. And it's this amazing moment that he says, the son that will be born of you will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. The word joy appears over and over and over in Luke chapter 1. It is amazing how God constantly brings up this joy like flowers in the desert, saying, this is what is true. This is what I am offering to you. Even the greeting, it's frequently translated greetings in English, but the root word is actually rejoice, joy. Every time it's used in a different part of the sentence, it's joy. And it's used three times in this section. God is saying, rejoice. This is the good news. This is what is true. This is the sun that is shining above these clouds. Rejoice, for I bring you good news. And how does Mary respond? At first, I love her response. She's like, what? like, don't you realize that I'm a teenager and this is not how these things work? But God had such bigger plans for her. She goes to see her cousin Mary, or her cousin Elizabeth, and Elizabeth's baby, John the Baptist, in the womb, jumps for joy when he sees Mary coming, or just senses Mary coming. There's great joy in that greeting in these two impossible pregnancies. They are pregnant with hope and with joy. And Mary, as Elizabeth rejoices, as John the Baptist rejoices, Mary bursts forth into song too. She doesn't say, I'm highly favored, look at me. She says, look what God has done. Let me magnify him. Let me glorify him. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. And then, like the Isaiah passage, she rejoices in how God has flipped everything upside down. He has reversed all of the curses. He has turned the desert into a rainforest full of flowers. She talks about his mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things. These are all the ways that God is reversing the curse that is found throughout the earth. When we think about this passage, there are reflections in Mary's song from Hannah's song. You may remember Hannah from back in 1 Samuel. Hannah was the barren wife of a man with two wives, and she was crying before the Lord at the temple in Shiloh. And Eli, the priest, came and said, "Are you drunk, woman?" And she said, "I'm not drunk. I'm crying out to the Lord." And he sort of offhandedly said, "May God give you what you want and go away." But Hannah has faith that God is able to fulfill those promises. And when she gets pregnant and gives birth to a son, the prophet and priest Samuel, that is when she sings a song of redemption, of the great God on high, seeing her in her barren state and bringing forth a child. And she promises to give that child to the Lord for his service, for all of his life. And here we have echoes of the same thing in Mary's song, echoes of this promise of God reversing the way of the downtrodden and bringing a child. The child who will reverse the fortunes of Israel, who will reverse all that has gone before, the child that will set his people free, the child that will be dedicated by his mother to the service of the Lord forever, not just in his first 33 years, but for the rest of eternity. We know that this God is the one who comes down in the form of a child, the hymn that we just sang, "How great our joy. There shall the child lie in a stall. This child shall redeem us all." This is not just any child. This is not just the birth of a good teacher or a great rabbi or a prophet. This is the God, the Son of God, the Son of the Most High God, who was with God in the beginning. He is God, and this child is the inbreak of the kingdom into a very, very dark season. And Mary knows that this is going to change absolutely everything. When her son grows up and goes to the synagogue, and he is given the Isaiah scroll, and he turns to the place that he wants to open and read from, he turns to this passage in Isaiah 61. And he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me today to proclaim good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to set free the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners." And he said to them the scandalous phrase, "Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And he sits down, and all of their jaws drop to the floor. Jesus proclaimed in that moment, he is the Messiah. He is the anointed one. He is the one who's come to reverse everything that is broken about our world. We know that we can celebrate this hope, this inbreak of the kingdom at his first coming, but we also know that we are still longing for his second coming, the time when he will permanently reverse all of these things that are oppressing us now. As we feel like we've been living under a cloud for 2,000 years, we saw the sun briefly as it broke out, but we also know that it will shine forever. And this cloud layer that has been oppressing us for millennia, that will be wiped away, and we will be able to see the Lord face to face. We will be able to experience the light of heaven. It says in Revelation that there is no sun in heaven because God is the light. That sun will never burn out. That light will never stop shining. And that is the truth of the joy that we can grab onto. How do we grab onto it? How do we hold on to that? Dietrich Bonhoeffer is such an incredible hero of the faith to so many of us. He spent his last few years in prison. This is something that he said about Advent while he was in prison. Advent points to a prison cell in which one waits and hopes and is completely dependent on the fact that the door of freedom has to be opened from the outside. Brothers and sisters, we sit in a land of darkness. We sit in a land of captivity and exile. We sit in a land of oppression. But this door of freedom has been opened by Jesus Christ, and it will be blasted open forevermore at his second coming. That is why we rejoice. We rejoice that our God is there. He is there even as the seeds are in the desert and will burst forth. We rejoice that that is what is true. We have to close our minds to believing that this is permanent, that this oppression that we're in right now is permanent. That is not what is true. God is the God who turns everything upside down. He is the one who sets the captives free. He is the one who redeems us all. As a Southerner, I'm still trying to get used to Pittsburgh winters. It hasn't been bad so far this year, thanks be to God. But one of the first years I was here, I have a friend that loves baseball. And it was one of those winters. This was the winter 2013-2014. If you remember that, we had several snows that were a foot or 2 feet, and it just seemed to snow all the time. I didn't see the grass in my front yard for 3 straight months. And I was so weary of this. And my baseball friend gave me a reason for hope. He is so excited when the pitchers and catchers report comes out. The proclamation that spring is coming. What is that, February? It comes out in the middle of the darkest month of Pittsburgh winter. And yet, here is a promise of spring. This is the promise of coming. The promise of Jesus Christ is so infinitely greater than the pitchers and catchers report. But as we celebrate Advent this year, it's like the pitchers and catchers report. It's like the proclamation that spring is coming, redemption is coming. It has come before, it is here now, and it is coming in the future. Our joy isn't defined by the winter that seems to never go away. Our joy is defined by the eternal spring of the outbreak of the Son of Righteousness. Far as the curse is found, he is the one who will conquer death, who will conquer sin, who will set us free. What are the places in your life that you feel like you only have mourning, you only have despair, you only have heaviness? Where in the world do you see poverty around you? So many families are being oppressed by poverty in this difficult year. So many families are being hurt by injustice. So many families are being oppressed in our country and around the world. But God is coming to set the captives free. How can you look at each of the things that you see that are broken right now and hold on to the promise that Jesus Christ is the one who lifts us above that cloud, and will reverse what we see? We need to ask him, Lord, lift me up, raise me out of this, open the prison door that we're stuck in. How can you set me free to rejoice and magnify you and trust that you will raise up the humble, you will raise up those who are broken, you will set free the captives. And Lord, also make me part of the ones that are going to be opening those prison doors. Help me set the captives free. Help me offer hope and bring hope and restore, to water the desert, to help the flowers bloom. Even as Jesus Christ lifts us up above the clouds, he is inviting us and calling us to do the same for his glory. Brothers and sisters, let us rejoice in the Lord. This is what is true, that he has come, he is come, and he will come again. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray together. Holy God, we thank you and we praise you for the joy that you offer us, joy that is so hard to find by our human hearts, but you provide eternal joy. Lord, we do pray that you would raise us up on wings like eagles today, that we may be raised above the clouds and see the eternal truth of joy that you offer, that we would not be bogged down in the mud of despair, but lifted up and set on our feet on the rock that is Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Lord God, we cry out to you as Israel, O come, Emmanuel, ransom captive Israel, which mourns in lonely exile here. We are grieving and mourning the brokenness, the hurt, the sickness, the death around us. It is horrendous to think about how many people have died of this disease this year, of how many people have suffered from economic despair and spiritual despair, emotional despair. Lord, we need you to reach in and to release the captive, to bring the oil of joy for mourning. We can't open this door from this side. You have to open it for us. But Lord, we trust that you are there. We trust that you are able to do that. And we proclaim that trust and that hope and that faith. Lord God, we lift up the brokenhearted today. And we pray that you would make us instruments of your peace, instruments of your hope, instruments of your joy, even as you release us from our prison cells. Lord God, we thank you that we can trust you. We can believe in the sun shining even in the midst of the storm, and we plant our feet there. Lord God, we pray for a gift of joy, that you would pour it out on us even when our cup is empty, but yours is overflowing. Lord, fill us today. Make our cup overflow as we sit at your table and drink in all that you pour out on us. Lord, we thank you that you have lavished your love on us by calling us your dearly beloved children. And it is as your children that we are bold to pray as Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.